my episode.
It's what?
It's my episode, Tim.
It's my episode, and I'll cry if I want to. We are going.
Okay. Tim, you're out of sight. I'm out of mind. Been sitting, watching your pictures, drying on the line. Just a game of mine. Welcome back to two people from Game Club Pod.
What an intro. Hello, Slade. How are you doing?
I'm good. How about yourself? Do you know the song?
I'm not so bad. What's that?
Do you know the song?
No.
Saint Cecilia by the Foo Fighters.
Is that the new one?
Nah.
Oh. When did it come out?
Like in 2015.
I've probably heard it then. I'm just not familiar. That was around the time The Pretender came out, right? Or was that Pretenders, way before?
This is after. Pretender's a pretty old song.
Oh, yeah. I think that was the last thing I bought of the Foo Fighters was the single The Pretender.
Wow. That's a great song, though.
That's a f***ing great song. Awesome video as well.
Can we talk about Foo Fighters is one of those bands just consistently good?
Yeah, it's kind of... They don't really miss. Like,
no.
At all.
No, I think they're one of the greats, if I had to say so.
Did you ever see the live track they did with Deadmau5?
Yes. Have you seen their DG's album?
No.
So they did all disco music for an album.
Sorry, I just got my ears blasted out by a video that popped up. Oh, yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, sorry, I thought I lost you for a second there.
No, so the DG's album is just like a bunch of covers of the Bee Gees.
That's pretty cool.
Really, really cool album. And then they did the 666 Hail, or no, they called it Hail Satin was the name of the album.
Great.
And then they did like a death metal cover album. Like, Foo Fighters is one of those bands I think can't do any wrong.
I mean, they're pretty great.
Yeah.
Let's have a look here. All right, okay. Yeah, no, it's they're pretty great, and they just don't... I can't think of a bad Foo Fighters album, although it's become apparent the last thing I listened to was The Pretender.
Yeah, their new album, really good. I got it on vinyl, and it's excellent.
That's good.
I got the limited run. It's, like, all white on white.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really nice looking. It's really good. It's also, like, an album full of, like, hurt and everything, because it's post the death of their drummer, Taylor Hawkins.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave's mom died, like, 4 months prior.
Oh.
So the whole album is depressing and sad, but it's the creativity that came out of, like, two traumatic things back-to-back, essentially.
All right. Slade, really I've got a series of questions for you. For anyone who hasn't listened to Game Changers, I always ask the guests on there the Desert Island Disc questions.
Shouldn't this be what we do in the post-amble after we talk about it?
No, it's fine. We'll do this in preamble.
Okay, that's the preamble.
So, for people who haven't listened to Desert Island Discs, at the end of the section, at the end of the show, they always ask the guest what they would take to a desert island if they were to be there for the rest of their days. They're allowed to take one book, 3 albums, 5 movies, and 1 luxury item. Slade, what's the book you're taking?
What book am I taking? Can I take a series of books, or like, you know, let's say it's like a trilogy, right? Or do I just have to pick a book to take?
A book, I'm gonna say. He's having a think.
Having a think and a look at the shelf.
What would your series be, just out of curiosity?
The Will Save / Destroy the Galaxy series. The third one comes out this year.
By Ben Crenshaw. Yeah.
Yeah. So, that one's coming out. Or the last one's supposed to be. Or it was supposed to come out at the end of this year, but the problem is the escapists decided to commit Sudoku.
Yeah, they decided to implode for funsies.
Yeah, so kind of threw a wrench in the works on that. That would be the series I would take, but if I had to pick a book, it'd probably be Dave Grohl's book. Mainly because it's the first one that comes to mind. I don't know if you've read it or anything. It's on Audible. He reads it himself. Super interesting life that he's had.
Yeah, I can imagine. All right, 3 albums.
3 albums. This goes back to a question, and I'd like you to... I'm going to ask you a question with your question. Pick 3 albums that you can listen to front to back without skipping a single song.
Rumors.
Hang on. Here's the thing, though, Tim. So, like, I love the 3 Cheers for Sweet Revenge by My Chemical Romance.
Mm-hmm.
I can't take it, though. As where I can listen to that whole song, there's that interlude track in there. So, because I would skip it, throws it out the, you know, in the bin.
Sure.
So you got to pick 3 that you don't even have something like that in there.
Yeah. probably Rumours by Fleetwood Mac.
Good album.
Fantastic album. One of the best albums ever written. Probably Take to the Skies by Enter Shikari. What's the album?
Sucking up the Joey on that one.
I've got a YouTube video suddenly playing. Stop. One sec. I'm looking for a particular album.
I would say my three albums. Wasting Light by the Foo Fighters. That's my favorite album of theirs. That's the one with the Rope. Would be the big hit single.
That's a great track as well.
It's one of my favorite things to play on drums. I would take Rope. I want to make sure I get this right, but it's a Bayside album.
Do you know what? The other album, it's not necessarily a favorite album of mine. Like, it's not even like top 10, but its vibes are that good for me. Is Endless Summer by The Midnight.
Okay.
It's just basically 80s vaporwave, but in a modern
form. Yeah, I listened to The Midnight for the first time, and I was like, this is 80s movie soundtrack in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Not something I'm going to pick out. It's not something I would pick out to listen to on my own, but it's not something I would ever skip, though. Cult, the White Edition from Bayside, would be another album I would pick.
Sure.
And then I would pick, there's The Best of the Allman Brothers. That'd be the last one.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Yeah. You get five movies.
Oh, that's hard. Fury.
Good movie.
It's a great movie. If you don't follow the Tank Museum on YouTube, which I presume you don't, you're not mean. They did a thing talking about the tanks from the museum, the Tank Museum, were used in the movie. And they did like a behind the scenes thing on it about how it all went down for like their end of the production.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Fury, Saving Private Ryan. So we're up to two. I cannot think of the name. Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
Animal House.
That's four. You need one more.
I know, I'm thinking of what the last one I'd want to be. Girls und Panzer Das Film.
Going for an anime one.
Yeah, gotta have one in there.
Alright, I'm probably gonna go...
Catwoman.
Parasite. What's that?
I said Catwoman.
No, I never want to see that movie again. Parasite... Whiplash.
Okay, I've heard Whiplash is good. I need to sit down and watch it.
You would love Whiplash, actually.
I know. I need to sit down and watch it.
Everything Everywhere All at Once. Let me just quickly look through my letterbox. Do you know what? I'd probably take the Dungeons & Dragons movie.
The new one?
The new one.
Okay.
I'm aware that I'm picking very modern movies, but I'm just looking at my letterbox for what I've recently watched and what comes to mind. Do you know what? It's got to be Airplane. Leslie Nielsen Airplane, my favorite comedy of all time.
That's a great movie.
Yeah. And then lastly, your luxury item.
Luxury item?
Yeah.
What do you mean by luxury item?
Well, it's just an item that would give you comfort. For example, like you can take a games console, for example.
Yeah, but I don't have a TV. I'm just taking the console.
This is assuming you've got a setup.
Oh. Yep.
I'm taking something like, I'm taking like a big old vat of painkillers, because if I get toothache and I don't have that, I'm finding the nearest tree and finding some rope.
All right, Tom Hanks.
You would. All right, that's about a 10-minute preamble. Shall we get on with the episode?
Yeah, let's talk about Stardew Valley. This episode of the Game Club Pod includes spoilers for Stardew Valley. Hello, welcome back to the Game Club Podcast. My name is Slade. You can find me at most places that Slade plays game, but that's Slade's Life on Instagram. You can find Tim over here at Wimbembo on pretty much everything, especially if you see that billboard of his.
Especially that billboard that is constantly updated, it seems.
Did Joey ever tell you about that?
Yeah, he told me that you were looking at hiring the billboard at my local train station.
I was like, how much would it cost? Would it be much?
It's really not much.
Joey thought you'd get really mad about it. And I'm like, I don't think Tim would be mad.
I'm confused.
I think it'd be really funny, to be honest.
Knowing my town, though, someone would definitely draw a dick on it within the first 10 minutes.
I know, but I think it'd be really funny to have, like, the seat at the train station, and it's just your face that it says, at Wimbembo on everything. That was all it was going to say, not plugging anything else of yours.
So this is amazing marketing. It tells me nothing, but I want it.
With a little QR code to, like, your Twitter or something, I thought that'd be really funny.
I used to know someone who used to run a website. I'm not going to say what the website is because I don't know if it's even active anymore, and I don't want to send anyone down a possibly dodgy rabbit hole if someone else has picked up the URL. But this website did nothing except sell business cards and shirts that just say the website name. And he actually made a lot of money doing it.
That's really funny, actually.
Yeah.
It's really funny. Let's talk a bit about Stardew Valley. First of all, before we get majorly into it, Steam, 10 out of 10. Google Play, 4.4 out of 5. Apple Store, 4.8 out of 5. It's kind of hard to dislike this game. I think it's a lovely little gem by Concerned Ape. Came out in February of 2016. You can play it right now if you somehow have missed this. I couldn't imagine missing this game. On PC, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, Vita, iOS, and Android. Let's see here. For awards, it's been nominated by the Golden Joystick Awards for Best Indie, Best PC Game of the Year. It won the Breakthrough Award at the Golden Joystick Awards. Game Awards 2016 is nominated for Best Independent Game, and the fact that it was only nominated and didn't win, bet y'all feel like fools now. Game Developers Choice Award, Best Debut Game, it was nominated for that. Independent Games Fest was nominated for it. And it basically, it's gotten a lot of nominations. It has sold gangbusters. It's on a little bit of everything. And it's extremely fun. It's a farm simulation game where you are given a farm by your granddad who just passed away. You move to the little city, and your job is to set up the farm as you see fit. There are multiple versions of this farm you can pick from. There's like the standard one, the beach, there's the river setup, the desert, the forest. You just pick how you want to start, make your character. Off you go. But there is more to it than just farming. There's the mystery going down at the what's it called? The community center. You have a bunch of people to meet, which that is a super long list of itself for villagers and making friendships. Dating simulator is also packed into here. There's fishing. There's also foraging in the mines where you have to fight monsters and collect ores. There's a lot going on in this open-ended RPG.
Yeah.
Tim, how was your 10 hours?
So you say 10 hours. I sat down and played this co-op with my girlfriend.
Right.
I played this on the steamy Steam Deck. Did you play this on the Steam Deck or no?
I played this on Switch.
Ah, okay. So still handheld. Right. And
but you and I have put a ton of time in here on PC.
How long have I put in on this? If I go and get Stardew Valley. Stardew Valley. Since buying this game, I have put in 170 hours.
I've got 56 on PC plus whatever I have on Switch.
But this run of the game, because we just, full disclosure, I'm sure people are aware, we decide our games for the podcast pretty far in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I sat down and said to Payne, I've got to play Stardew Valley for 10 hours on the Switch. And she was like, great, I'll play with you. So we played our entire session co-op. I think we've put about 40 hours into this playthrough. Like, we're on year 3 or something now of the farm. And it's the way I describe this game when I first convinced a friend of mine to get it is it's like a time vampire.
Yep.
In that you'll be like, oh, I'll just sit down for an hour and just play some Stardew Valley. You'll maybe do that at like 6 o'clock in the evening. And then when you look up at the clock again to like be like, oh, it's been an hour, it's actually now 1 a.m. It's you get so sucked into this. And it's not even like a particularly addictive game, but it's so cathartic in everything that it does, except fishing. But fishing is a good way to make money.
Fishing is the easiest thing in the game.
But it's not cathartic. It's not satisfying.
I think it is. When you're going after some of the harder fish, like, you know, some of the rare catches. Hatfish. Yeah, you remember hatfish.
I remember hatfish. I found hatfish a few times. But I played this on the latest update with the new Ginger Island thing. Have you seen Ginger Island?
I have.
It's wild. So the fact this game came out in 2016 and it's a single developer still supporting it. And I don't know if you read the numbers about 3 or 4 years ago where Steam accidentally leaked a bunch of revenue numbers for their top games. Do you remember how much Stardew Valley made on Steam?
It was a lot, wasn't it?
Do you want to take a guess?
It sold about 16 million copies. So
it's made $30 million. And that's in straight revenue, but like after Steam tax.
Right.
Damn. So that's a lot of money. I mean, and it seems like concerned there, but obviously don't know what he does with his finances. I'm not privy to that information. But a lot of it seems to go straight back into the game.
Because he's been supporting it for 8 years now. And actually now saying that it came out in February makes me realize, hey, we picked an 8-year anniversary to play this.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's a coincidence. I did not plan that in advance whatsoever.
But yeah, game really good. Game is a rabbit hole. There's a fun dating sim aspect to it where you can shag everyone in the town if you want.
You can.
And then you can go mining, and then you can go into a desert and cast a voodoo ritual to turn a rock into the most broken sword in the game. You can go to an island and find a small orphan boy and his army of parrots. There's a lot to unpack in here, and it's good. And on top of all that, the whole central point is you're running just a farm in a little town in the middle of rural America.
Everything we've said, you don't even have to go do. You could just stay and run your farm the whole time. And
you don't even have to run the farm. You could just fish.
You could just fish. You could just go mining.
Yeah. It all makes money, and you're not paying rent to anyone or anything. But it's just you're earning money, and the only criteria, as it were, and it's not even like a mandatory criteria. The ghost of your granddad at one point comes to you in a dream and says, if you are doing a good job by spring in your second year, you'll get a fun reward, and that's it.
No, it's year three granddad shows up.
Something like that, yeah. But that's the only, and I'm using criteria here in massive inverted commas.
Yeah.
It's very open. It's the kind of thing that if you're, I don't often recommend controller and, you know, whatever over PC because I'm a PC guy. But this is absolutely one to have on, like, a controller, sit back under a blanket, watch on your big TV, have some snacks nearby, and just get comfy. That's all this game is there to do, is to make you comfy.
It's a great example of a good cozy game.
Yeah.
And even then, it could still be stressful at times. Like, you know, you can't, like Minecraft, you can't just stay up all night. You got to make it back home by 2 a.m. Otherwise, you'll have like half energy that day.
Mm-hmm.
Which, there's co-op. There's co-op, like we said.
Yes, the game natively currently supports 4 farmers, but I believe there's a development being added to support 16.
There is. And Tim and I have the, we used to play games in a Discord together very long time ago prior to all this. Where when Stardew Valley announced multiplayer, it seemed like for a day everybody would pop in and be like, hey, did you hear it's got multiplayer now?
It's just something that stuck around for a few years. So if you're ever in our Discord, the Game Club Pod Discord, and you see someone making a joke saying, oh, it's got multiplayer, as soon as someone mentions Stardew, that's where that comes from.
Yep.
But to go into Joey's thoughts, because he's also sent me them as well.
Yep.
Joey said, 10 hours wasn't enough to get fully immersed. I did 6 or so hours and my farm still looked like a hole. I'd spend months digging and pulling up weeds only for my crops to be eaten by birds. And if you have the time and patience, the game sounds and feels great. If you don't, you might as well not start. I think to get somewhere from zero knowledge like I was, you'd need 20 or 30 hours minimum. And if you're invested, you're invested. It's on Game Pass. Give it a go if you will need a time sink.
I think I knew Joey wouldn't be into this, by the way, when I picked it.
Sure.
Because Joey, if he's not killing something every 2 seconds with a giant sword, he's not entertained.
I don't know about that.
I think that's pretty accurate.
He's
a Dark Souls fan. That's how it goes.
He is a Dark Souls fan, but so am I.
I know, but Joey doesn't like cozy games.
I don't know.
Joey doesn't like cozy games.
I'm going to pull up the score sheet and see if there's any cozy games on there.
Okay. What's left of the score sheet is what you're looking at.
Nuked.
By Joey, he was trying to erase his love of cozy games.
He liked Journey.
That's not a cozy game.
That's a cozy game. That's not a cozy game. It absolutely is. Game. It is.
Unpacking is a cozy game.
Unpacking is a cozy game, but that's a cozy game. That's the difference.
It's an excellent cozy game.
So, can we talk story for Stardew Valley? Is that
a thing? I think I kind of ran through it because the story is all your own. It's not. The story is what you make of it. You know, if you just want to be a humble farmer, be a humble farmer. If you want to go shag all the women in the city, you go shag all the women in the city.
There's, or men. Choice is yours.
Right. Or the men.
Everyone
in the
is
city.
Bisexual.
Apparently. Take a pick. Or if you want to go mine and be like the greatest adventurer ever, go ahead. Do you want to go spend your time fixing up and doing the thing with like the little alien creatures in the community center?
There are also random events that can happen on your farm. So it's not just like every day is the same. Things can happen. Like sometimes you'll be like, you'll go to bed and it'll say to you, like, there was a storm during the night and some damage happened and you've got to go find what broke on your farm. Or sometimes a fairy will come along and bless your crops and make them either grow or grow massive. So you can have like a 10 block wide pumpkin.
Right.
Or, and this is one of the weirder ones that I had, an alien can crash on your farm. Did you have this?
Yes.
With the pod?
I don't think it's... Because I think it's related back to the little dudes... I forgot what they're called. At
Juminos.
The Juminos down at the community center.
It's not.
Is it not?
No. All it does... So this alien will crash land on your farm. This is not plot relevant. This is just a pure random thing that can happen. And you'll get what's referred to as a breathing pod. And it's like kind of pulsing. You leave it on your farm for 3 days, and then you'll, when you go to bed, it'll say, there was a noise in the night, and you'll go down to the pod, and the pod will be broken, and there'll be nothing in there.
Mm-hmm.
All this does, occasionally, when you're going to or from the bus stop at night, you might see something running between some bushes. That's all that does.
Yep. Oh, there's also a wizard. We forgot
there is a wizard. There's Hat Mouse, the best character in any video game I've ever seen.
I remember being genuinely mad at Tim because of Hat Mouse.
Yeah.
Genuinely mad because Tim took, we had a co-op farm with some friends right when that came out. And Tim took all of our funds and bought a hat.
I bought all hats.
No, you bought a hat. It
You've
was
got
a
to
single,
support local business.
You bought the one hat that Hat Mouse had. And it was all the money we were about to go buy seeds with for the farm.
It was important. It was fine. It was fine. For the record, Payne also didn't like me buying Hat Mouse hats.
Good. Stardew Valley is one of those games, though, like you said, you just kind of turn your brain off. Next thing you know, a couple hours have gone by. I had a, prior to me getting my Steam Deck is when I was playing it. And I was at work with my Switch plugged in. I had nothing to do. And I spent an 8-hour shift playing Stardew.
Well, it became a nightly activity for Payne and I to just... Like, all right, we're going on the farm, and then she would have ideas of designs, and I'd be a little retriever and go and get fish or rocks or emeralds or seeds or whatever. But by the time, because we haven't touched the game in a couple of weeks now, but by the time like things were done at the first year, it's a really successful looking farm now.
Right. Well, that's one of the things. It's kind of like Stardew Valley, I think, has the Minecraft syndrome a bit, where you'll end up playing it for like 2 or 3 weeks straight, and then you don't touch it for like a year, and then the next year it'll like hit you, and you're like, "Oh, I should play that again."
Yeah. Should we talk a bit about the dating sim aspect of it?
We can if you want to talk about the dating sim aspect.
First of all, who do you go for?
Leah.
I also went with Leah. This
Leah,
time.
Leah, or
Abigail.
Ah.
Yeah.
I don't know if people know this. Tim and I have the same taste in women, though.
Apparently, yeah. I normally go with Abigail because, you know, punk girl who plays video games, cool. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to go for someone different this time. And I picked Leah. And do you know what? I got a very satisfying story out of it.
Yep.
Each There's character, even... when you level them up in terms of your connection with them, will give you a story. And it's good.
Yeah, it's also, well, there's also Linus, who we have to talk about. And
gotta be nice to Linus.
If you're not nice to Linus, you're not allowed to listen to the Game Club Pod any further.
No, this is your cutoff. So Linus is a homeless man. And I don't know who in Stardew Valley is being a dick to him, because sometimes he'll just make comments like, some people were throwing rocks at my tent last night, and I don't know who it was.
I think it's either the old dude in the wheelchair, because he is a dick.
I don't know if he can make his way up the mountain, though.
I don't know. It's either him or just kids being kids. Because, you know, like, the first rule of being a child is throwing rocks at shit you shouldn't throw rocks at.
Sure. Yeah. But every time you see Linus, because you can give everyone in the town 2 gifts a week.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't give Linus food, you're a bad person.
Yep.
He loves food.
I also like that... for Abigail, you show up and give her, like, amethyst stone, and she eats it.
Yeah, you can give her quartz, and she was like, delicious. That's rocks. Are you a dragon? Like, for me, one of the more touching moments of a bit of character interaction I had was with Linus. I got his friendship up to max.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this whole thing where he bumps into the local woodworker. Holly, I think her name is?
No, I think that's Penny.
No, Penny's the teacher.
No, Penny is the teacher. Hang on.
Robin, that's her name.
Ah, yeah. I was looking at the wiki, which, by the way, it lists people as bachelors, bachelorettes, non-marriage candidates, non-giftable NPCs.
Yeah. There's a whole cutscene where I have to call her Penny again, where Robin bumps into Linus, and she's like, oh, well, why don't you get a job? She turns to me and is like, why don't you give him a job on the farm or a place to stay? And there's a couple of prompts you can have where it's like, oh, would you like to come and work on the farm? Or it's like, oh, I think he can make that decision on his own. And if you select that second one, he has the quite touching line of just, you're the first person since I moved to this town who hasn't tried to fix me.
Yep.
It's like, oh, I f-ing appreciate that.
Yeah, and like one of the first things you have of Linus is the old dude. No, it's the mayor, I think, catches him like eating out of the trash bins or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's like, no, it's the old guy in the wheelchair, who again is like the only dickhead character in the whole thing. Oh, there's also events. There's like 2 or 3 events a month. So your time is in spring, summer, fall, winter, right?
Yeah.
And there's 2 or 3 events that happen during that time. Yeah. And in those events, if you go into town, you can't do anything that day. So you have to decide if I want to go do that event or I need to go do more things at the farm that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. But everything's on a schedule. And then, like, once you get into that habit and that schedule of doing things, you just fall in a nice little rhythm and routine. And it's just good.
I think that's why it's a good turn your brain off game. Mm-hmm. Everything's on a rhythm. And then at some point at the start of the season, most of your crops die and you have to like go and re-till some land and reset your sprinklers. But you're like, okay, that's just a chore that's got to be done. And then I'm back into a new rhythm.
Yep. And then there's also, we've talked a bit about, or I have, the community center.
Yes.
Which part of your job is to restore it so that this way the evil, hungry corporation, Jojamart, who's the villain, doesn't get a stranglehold on the town, and restoring that brings all the people who live in town, you know, happiness, and everybody has a massive orgasm or whatever.
Sure.
So, Tim?
Yeah?
Okay, you froze for a second when I said that.
Ah, sorry, no, I just heard the word orgasm and just, I need to listen more.
So in doing that, though, that also kind of affects your planting schedule, what you're fishing for, what you're mining for, because there's certain things that you need to go get to complete certain batches to restore certain parts of the community center.
Which get you perks.
Yeah. Which long run gives you perks and more things to go on at the farm.
It's great.
Gunther in the library where, you know, you have to like...
Oh, with the artifacts and the gemstones and the like. So you're basically filling out a museum.
Yeah, and you have to restore the museum. There's a lot going on. I don't know what this town was doing before you showed up.
I don't know. They were just kind of in a rut.
Yep.
No one's doing anything. There's also, there is one building that I never really visited on my 30, 40 hours on this one. The Adventurer's Guild.
I don't think I've ever finished it.
I don't know there's anything to do there. I think it might just be a shop.
No. So I do know some about that. So as you go down through the mine and you're fighting monsters, if you go back and turn it in, you get stuff from the Adventurer's Guild. Like you get armor, boots, weapons. So you can get a lot of it for free and unlock better and better stuff as you go down further and turn in more monsters that you have killed.
Okay. Neat.
And it also has a storyline. And again, this is goes back to kind of like our thing with Lucas Pope. And who's the other solo dev? Toby Fox.
Toby Fox, yep.
Again, just a solo dev knocking it out of the park.
They're clearly passionate about what they do.
Yep.
I suppose if they weren't passionate about what they do, we wouldn't be seeing this.
No. 8 years later, and they're about to do the Chocolate Factory update?
Yeah. It's, bless you. It's, I think what we're saying is that it's a very, very fun, very in-depth game that you really don't have to focus on. It's not like an AFK game or anything. You're always going to be involved in that sense, but you could be watching a show while doing this. You could be watching a movie. You could be listening to an audiobook or a podcast like this one. It's a very much back-of-the-mind task game, I think.
Do you think later, when Joey's listening back to this edit and everything, or if he's not listening to the edit, he's listening to the episode, he's going to be like, I didn't know you could do any of that in here.
Maybe. Oh, right, should we get to scores and thoughts?
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing, one thing I want to touch on. Music is a banger to the point that they're doing concerts for Stardew Valley now.
Yeah, there's also a vinyl record of the album. The music's also really good.
Yep, the music is incredible. It's great background music. If you're ever doing, like, let's say you're doing chores, go and listen to some of the music. Slade, you might want to put, like, some of it in here.
Ooh, like it hasn't been already.
I know. All right, cool. Well, let's get to scores and thoughts.
Sure. Tim, does Joey send you a score?
Yes, Joey did.
All right, what's Joey's score?
Joey gave it a 6 out of 10.
Oof. Okay. Tim, what about for you?
I would like to go with a... No, 9's too high. 8.5.
Ooh, okay. 8.5, you say?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Some of the... I guess my only real criticism, if you're familiar with the characters, which you would be after about 30 hours or so, a lot of their dialogue gets pretty repetitive unless you're in an event. And yeah. I get, like, it's a solo dev. He can't do it all, but the depth is already gone too.
There are mods to add more, like, character lines and things like that.
But that's a mod.
There is mods. Like, the community is also really outstanding for stuff like that. There's some that do, like, proper, like, wedding venues if you end up marrying one of the characters in game.
Yeah.
Where you can also have kids. There's stuff like that.
Yeah. What about you, Slade?
Tim, I'm going to give it... I'm sorry, you changed the... Did you change your score?
No, I haven't touched it. 8.5 on my screen.
Okay. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10?
I don't think it's perfect, but I think it's extremely good, and I think everybody should play it.
I think it's highly recommended from me.
And me as well. I don't think Joey really recommended it.
No.
I think Joey would do better... And I'm not trying to tell him how to play games, obviously, but if we did a co-op one with, like, the three of us...
Maybe.
I think he would have a better time.
I mean, we've been playing Minecraft lately. We've been playing the mod Vault Hunters. And when I suggested that we play it, Joe was like, oh, I don't want to play Minecraft. I don't particularly like Minecraft these days. But he's been having a great time with Vault Hunters because it's something different and with friends.
Yeah, I've not been playing it because y'all said the same thing about Skyblock.
Oh,
Yeah,
okay. All right, well, what are we doing next week?
Well, hang on, Tim, because that gives this game a 7.83 repeating out of 10 with two very solid recommendations, and I think...
Probably not.
Probably not, but I think Joey would defer to the two of us.
Probably.
You know, like how when we play something that I know you two love and I don't care, I would say, hey, listen to those two, not me.
Sure. Cool. All right. Well, what are we doing next week, Slade? In 2 weeks, Slade?
In 2 weeks, we are going to be joined by the Northern Boy, Alex. Man, you thought you only got to listen to him during D&D? Haha, joke's on you. He wants us to play a game called Rollerdrome.
Rollerdrome, it's a shootery, Tony Hawk-y kind of game.
Yes.
Neat. Well, join us next episode for that, where Slade will be learning how to roller skate for the first time.
Ooh, joke's on you. I'm really good at roller skating.
Are you actually?
I actually am.
Can you go backwards?
Yes.
That's pretty cool. You wear like little boot shorts when you do it, or?
Only if you ask nicely.
All right, cool. Not like on a Venice beach or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Only on request.
Yeah, of course. All right, well, do you want to do a post-amble?
We can if you want to.
Yeah, sure. All right, well, see everyone in the post-amble. It's now the post-amble.
Whoa, look at that. Tim, last week, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about content creation and what part of the internet's worse for it.
Oh, yeah.
This week, Tim, what have you been playing lately? Non-podcast stuff.
Non-podcast stuff. Like we said, we've been on a big old Minecraft binge lately. I've been playing a lot of Tekken. The new one is... When's this episode go out?
On the 29th.
Okay, so as of 3 days ago, Tekken 8 will be out. And I've been playing a lot of Tekken. It's high-level Tekken to me. For those who don't know, Tekken is a 3D fighting game, and not like an anime arena fighter, like a one-on-one arena fighter. Not arena fighter, just one-on-one 3D fighter. High-level Tekken is the sickest shit you'll ever see. It is so good, but it's just getting to that high level. And I'm not great at Tekken, but I really, really enjoy it. What about you?
I've been playing some Fallout 4 lately.
Mm-hmm.
Because the new Fallout London mod is going to be coming out this year. Looking forward to that. So I want to go ahead and have a character in, a couple levels on him, and be able to run through that. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Is the Fallout London one going to make you make a new character, or are you going to be able to use your existing one?
From what I can tell, it's an existing one is what you use.
Interesting.
So what I want to make sure is that I have a character who's like level 20 at least.
Well, like, I think the only time you've ever really gone anywhere outside of the main map in Fallout is maybe Fallout 3?
No.
No?
So, okay, so what do you mean outside the main map?
Well, there's a whole thing in Fallout 3 in the DLC where you get taken away by, like, some helicopters.
Yeah, so same in New Vegas. A lot of its DLC takes place not in New Vegas. Like,
I don't think I've played any of the DLC of New Vegas.
Ah, well, so, like, Dead Money, for example, is outside the New Vegas area, and one of the things that a lot of people don't do is slowly walk back with being over encumbered with more gold than you can walk with. There's also a bit of it. It takes place on the moon.
What, New Vegas?
Yeah, what's... Am I...
Well, I know in Fallout 3 there's the whole thing where you enter the the hallucination chamber, as it were, where you're like put into almost a VR setup.
What is Old World Blues?
That's set on the moon.
If I remember correctly, synopsis. Old World Blues. Yeah, you're abducted and experimented on by the think tank. And I think it does take place on the moon. Because I remember being outside and like oxygen was a big thing in the game.
That's really interesting. I never knew that existed.
Yeah, there's also the Fallout New California, which is a DLC, or not a DLC, but it's like a mod pack for New Vegas.
Sure, but I'm counting anything officially made.
Oh, sure. And Fallout 4 also has like New Harbor, which takes place on an island off the coast of Boston. There's
is that DLC?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't play it.
There's Nuka World, which also isn't in the main map either.
I didn't finish Fallout 4.
I finished that with, like, one of the neutral people from Futurama.
Oh, right. for me, I had a game-breaking bug. It's probably fixed at this time. But there's a point right after you first go to Diamond City where... You know, you go and hang out with Nick Valentine, the the synth detective man.
Yes.
And someone, I think it might be Piper, who's another NPC there, mm-hmm. tells you to go and meet someone from the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is they didn't show up.
Ah.
And from what I read online, that was a somewhat common bug, and the only way to fix it was to start your save over.
Oh, that's annoying.
So I just didn't. And you know what? I don't particularly regret it. I was saying to you the other night, the thing I don't like about Fallout 4 and the thing I don't like about Fallout 76 outside of Fallout 76's myriad of issues at launch.
Right. It plays much better now. I stand by my testament that if you hated it at launch, please go give it a try now.
I would be happy to give it a try, but at launch, it was bad.
I would agree.
It doesn't give you the option to be the villain. And that's what I want in a Bethesda RPG. Not to necessarily be the villain, but to have the option to do so.
I still think Fallout 4 has the best thing in its dialogue, where you can just f*** off.
You can just leave.
Yeah, you can just leave. I think that's the greatest thing.
Yeah.
The DLC is good. You know, it takes you off the main map. So.
Yeah. Have you been playing Baldur's Gate? Or?
No, I still haven't.
Oh, you need to sit down.
It's just, I need to restart it, and I just don't want to do that.
Well, how far have you gone?
I'm still in the tutorial, and I failed it.
Okay. At some point, probably next weekend, we're going to sit down and play some Baldur's Gate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get you out of the tutorial, and by God, you'll enjoy it, and you'll have no sec.
It's also, it's one of those games, it's like too much, if that makes sense.
There's a lot of game there, but it's...
And like, I'm not unfamiliar with the D&D.
No, not at all. Know,
I'm not. I've played many... I've never DM'd, but I've played many sessions as a character. Not unfamiliar with it whatsoever, but it is a lot to do, and a lot of my game time sessions, it's like, oh, I only have like 1 or 2 hours to sit down and play a game.
There's a really cool device I think you own. Called a Steam Deck.
It's in my work truck right now. I haven't taken it out this weekend. I've been busy doing other stuff.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
It's not installed on my PC right now. It's only on my Steam Deck.
It's phenomenal on Steam Deck. Like, yeah. Obviously, PC is going to be significantly better in terms of performance and graphical fidelity, but the fact that you can take it on the go, sign me up.
Right. Well, also, you know how my feelings are. Like, graphics don't matter.
I think they're important, but they're fairly... I don't think maybe just below the top five.
Yeah, I don't think they're very important at the end. Like, artistic direction, yes. Sure. Graphics, no.
Well, we've always talked about this before.
That's the distinction I always make, is that your artistic and, you know, direction, yes, that is important.
Hmm.
The game being the prettiest thing in the world, no, does not matter.
Well, if your artistic direction is strong enough, then your game will be pretty, regardless of
graphics. Right, like, well, like, Stardew Valley's a pretty game.
Yeah, it's not particularly graphical. It's just not particularly graphical.
No, it's, what, 32-bit, essentially?
Yeah.
It's not.
Wind Waker, as well, is the example I always go to, because of its strong art direction, that'll be timeless and will forever be pretty, but it's not, like,
realistic
or anything.
BioShock, they'll also always look good.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, I think that should probably do it before we end up on another tangent that ends up longer than the actual episode. All right, join us in 2 weeks, everyone, for Rollerdrome.
Rollerdrome, where Alex will be telling us...
No, hang on. You're doing the roller skates.
No.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yes. Good. You can do one in the next episode. How about that?
Yay.
All right, fine. Alright, well, we'll see everyone in 2 weeks' time for Rollerdrome. Goodbye!
Goodbye!